probably thinking, what's going on? Where's the trailer? Where's the video? Well, today the trailer and video is coming in Linda Jansen. Huh? I asked her to come up. She has a couple different announcements, but it's all about what we've been talking about. And I thought this is going to fit perfectly right before I go into my message. So Miss Linda, she's going to share what they did on Friday and then what's coming up and opportunities that we have.
Good morning. How many of you like to win? Who likes to be on a winning team? I do. I'm very competitive. I like to win. I'm a winner. Well, you know who has a winning team? God's team. God's team is a winning team. And so let me tell you this, each and every one of you are winners. You're all winners, and I have no doubt you're winners because you all contributed to Morris Elementary. Each and every one of you. You either contributed by purchasing supplies, you gave money, you gave your time, and if you didn't have any of that, you prayed about it. So you're all winners. Hallelujah, you're all winners. Our church supplied a breakfast on Thursday for the staff and the teachers at Morris Elementary, and it was huge. I want to say a special thank you to Jess for setting it up. Of course, she can set up quite a spread, and it was three tables worth. So you can all be very, very proud of yourselves. And Wilma, you did a lot of work too, putting it all together. Skyler was there. This was his alma mater, wherever he is. And so he got to make a few connections, and it was fun. And it was a fun time, and they connected with us, and in fact, they even wanted Skyler to do some bus trips for him. They wanted Jess to come and teach. We're making a connection there. And that's what God wants us to do, is to make a connection. Besides all of that, we gave about 10 boxes worth of supplies, which they're all going to be grateful for. I want to say a special thank you to Tiffany Whipple because she supplied the stickers that went on the notebooks that we provided that said these came from Fort Des Moines Open Bible Church with a little barcode, and if they click on it, it'll go to our church. Huge. That's huge. And also to Carol Westerkamp. I did warn her I was going to tease her a little bit. But because she's worked in the school and because she knows that kids have accidents and get sick, she provided four packages of children's underwear. Now, this is funny, but it's not. The school nurse got these four packages and she was thrilled. She came to me and she was thrilled. You would have thought that she won the lottery. It was big. All it takes is a little part on your end, and God will do the rest. In regards to Morris, they have a food pantry, and I've already started working in it. We have others in the church. There's about four or five others that are signed up to work either in the food pantry or at the school. So we're going to be doing that. And this is a commitment. And this makes it personal. And I want to say this. When you do something, I don't care what it is, whether you're actually physically doing something or whether you're praying, you're giving God the opportunity to respond. And that's what he does. And when he responds, he doesn't respond little. He responds big, and bigger than we can ever imagine. Okay, having all said all that, our next project is Bidwell. It is scheduled for September. We do not have a date yet because we've changed Bidwell around just a little bit. We're not going to be doing so much work outside as we're going to be doing work inside stocking shelves. So there'll be a lot of that. And our give is also Bidwell. We will be collecting personal hygiene products, items, and we will also be collecting paper products. So thank you again for all that you do in this church.
All right, thank you, Linda. Thank you, team, that put all that together. I know if you look at the Facebook pictures, oh, Dad was pushing the cart, and Mom, they had been sick, wasn't even feeling that well, and still came out to help be a part. And then my son hadn't started school yet, and it's kind of neat to hear that there's still relationships there that remember not only my son, but they remember my wife. Jess, when our kids were this tall, subbed there. She wanted to be close to the kids, and so she was a sub teacher. So when Linda said, I want you to come back and teach, she was serious. They really want her to come back and teach and sub. And God hasn't called her back to that yet, but they still want it to happen. Are you guys ready to go? Why are you sitting down? I don't know. God, this has been the weirdest week for me, and even planning this message. Such a struggle to find direction of what God wanted to do. And so I did what all I know how to do, and that's just wait. And so he's given me something. I'm going to hand that to you, and then we're going to pray. We're just going to have a time of prayer. I don't know what he wants to do in that time of prayer, but it's God. We have plans, and we have organization, and we have, you know, a time limit, and I think all that should be honored. But at the same time, God knows at any time that he needs to do anything where we've maybe planned too much, God, just wreck it, stop it, and direct us in the way we should go. So keep your ears open. Keep your hearts open. God may speak to you something today that confirms what you're feeling. He may take you in a whole different direction. He may ask you to do something that you've been fighting for years. He may open a door that you wanted to be open for years. But he's going to do something today, I can just tell you. The Spirit is very, very strong. And when as a leader you have to completely let go, there are some nerves involved, but you know God wouldn't ask you to do that so you're unprepared. He asked you to do that because he needs to do something. And so I'm going to read out of Acts. When we first came up with this series, it's supposed to be a little short series. I wasn't even supposed to speak today. We had Chad on the docket, and then he had looked at the week coming up, and it was his starting of his school, and he had five classes to prep for, and he's like, hey, this isn't going to work out. And so he'll be ending the series next week. But so I'm going to bring you the first story that popped in my head when we talked about Mission Possible. I'm going to read through this story with you, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. So here we go. This is Acts chapter 8, if you want to follow me. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 is where we're starting, and we're talking about Philip. This will be a familiar story, but you know what I like to do is look within the story and see sometimes what we miss. Sometimes we can look at the story and think, oh, that's Philip. That is so cool. He was like transported away from this Ethiopian. That was so neat. It's almost like Star Trek. And so we focus on some of the neat stuff, but there's so much here. So we're talking about Mission Possible. We've done series, actually two of them, on us taking our faith and getting it out. And that is what life is all about. No matter what you're doing in life, we all have new ventures. Jobs, marriages, boyfriends, girlfriends, kids, all these things, buying houses. Everything is surrounded about our sole purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people. Everything. And so listen to this. Verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Verse 27 says, so he started out. So what just happened? Anybody? He responded, he was told something to do. Now, what position do you have to be in when you're told something to do? You have to be submissive. You have to put yourself in a position to listen. People often talk about, oh, the Holy Spirit is so powerful, can do all these things. Well, sure he can. But there's a lot of people not reacting to the Holy Spirit. Why? They're not hearing it. They're not putting themselves in the position. What we have to comprehend is Philip had put himself in a position to hear from God and hear from the Holy Spirit. So as we talk about sharing our faith and going out, sometimes we can get ahead of ourselves. We need to stop and put ourselves in a position to hear. So he did that. So he's open to the Holy Spirit. He hears it. And then after he hears it, what does he do? He walks in submission and he does it. That's a tough step too. So you have to hear it. Anyone ever, you're there and you're staring right at the person, but you couldn't give a rip about what they're talking about. Apparently, I do this to my wife quite often. I get to work and we are kind of reconfiguring and designing in our heads and then putting it on paper now about our front sign. That thing is dead, it's gone, and we want to revive something that just lets people know, man, we are here. And so Jess said, okay, before work, because I was going to swing by and do some things at church, he goes, just take a picture of the sign for me. I'm going to work with the sign company and see about what we can come up with. I said, okay. I come here, I do some things, I go to work. Guess what I forgot to do? But I knew I forgot to take the picture. But then she said, okay, well, did you at least get all the measurements? I'm like, what are you talking about, all the measurements? She goes, I asked you to take a picture and then get every measurement. How am I supposed to let the sign company know? That makes sense. They have to know. I have zero this much recognition, or what's that word? Recollection. Thank you. I was really close. Of her saying anything about measuring. Usually the word measure ticks. I carry a measuring tape with me 8 hours a day. I do a lot of fitting and fabricating and running different pipe, and so measure. To this day, I do not recall her saying one thing to me about measuring. But she swears she did, and when it comes to memories, you go with that one and not with this one. That's just a sad reality. My brain is so busy sometimes. And so in a way, I was right in front of her, but I was not listening. There was something else going on in my mind. Maybe I was designing the sign in my head. Maybe I didn't even want to talk about the sign, but I didn't take in what she said. Philip was listening. He took it in, and then he went. Does it say anything in here about he was so excited to go down that road? He's been wanting to travel that road forever. That's a beautiful road. It's a great sunset. Man, Philip couldn't wait to go south down that road to Gaza. Didn't say anything about his desires or what he wanted. But he listened. He put himself in a position to hear, and then he went. Now, because of that, listen to what happens. The Lord said, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. So something else that struck me is this is a man of authority. This is someone who could, you know, go away from me or come to me. People will do what he said. And so when he gets there, Philip, he's just a traveling evangelist, dirty from head to toe. And he understands that, wait a second, you brought me to this guy. Anyone ever face intimidation? For those of you that are overconfident, no. Well, if you're human, yes. There are sometimes people that can be placed in front of you that cause us to act a different way. And if God were to call you, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's position, maybe it's fear, but if God was to call you to that person, that call doesn't change because of the feeling that you get. And so I love, listen to what Philip does next. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk alongside of the carriage. You ready for this? Verse 30. Philip ran over. He ran. That's the same willies I get when I think about David running to Goliath. I mean, man, 11, it's one thing to hear from God. And okay, God, the whole time, I don't want to do this. Don't want to talk to this person. Don't want to be in this position. Philip recognized everything from he heard the voice to he's reacting. And now here's this situation. Well, obviously, if he heard and he's reacting, the situation was planted by God. And so he ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asks, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" So this man had gone to worship. So he had within his mind Jewish law, but he was reading, and I'll get to it, about Jesus in Isaiah. Isaiah was written 700 years before the New Testament. So this is hundreds of years old, and he's reading this prophecy, understanding God, but not understanding this prophecy. So the man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. That's bigger than what people realize. I mean, like I said, Philip is this kind of a peasant of a man. But the Spirit was at work. So this wasn't being judged by just visual. The Spirit was at work. Philip wasn't intimidated. He was simply walking in obedience. He put himself in a position where he could have been, you know, shoved aside or even flogged for bothering. You know what happens when you tick off high priests and Pharisees in those days and Jewish leaders? They have you beat half to death and sometimes killed. Philip walked in obedience. And so the passage of Scripture he'd been reading was this. This is verse 32. Now this is the Isaiah, basically, chapter 53. I think it's 3 through 7. "He was led like a sheep to slaughter." Pay close attention to this, because I use this a lot when I share the truth of God's word. Because this verse is prophecy that was probably the most visually worked out prophecy that there was. 700 years before Jesus walked on this earth as a human. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth." When he was in front of Pilate, he had an opportunity to speak his innocence, but Jesus knew what had to happen, so he stood there in complete silence. He was humiliated and received no justice. Jesus was not only beaten, whipped, he had his robe and clothes torn off of him in public, humiliating him. And then the soldiers cast lots for his clothes, not caring about who was right in front of him. "Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, my favorite part, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And some of you may say, "Matt, you're just emotional. That's just, yeah, whatever." That's what we're here for. That's our reason. Each and every one of us were created by God in these beautiful bodies that have these systems that doctors are still trying to figure out to this day because of how brilliant we were made. Miles of nerves and veins. And I can tell you, you cut yourself, which I've done about 500 times in my life, and just watching yourself heal. Watching that all of this put together can be remade. And little babies coming out of our body. How beautiful are we? Now God looks at us and says, even the very birds of the air, and the lilies of the field, look at their beauty. And yet how much more do I love you. We are precious. And the people that have not yet understood who Jesus is, what an opportunity just waiting for us. That's why I wanted Linda to talk right before this, because what an opportunity. And that's not the only one. We have an opportunity where doors of a public school have opened and invited born-again Christians inside. That's big. That's big. We're not trying to trick anybody, but we're going to go in there and we're going to influence them with Jesus Christ through our lives. Philip told the truth and then told the good news about Jesus to this eunuch. The story goes on, but I just want to stop there. This is all about us using our lives to tell people about the good news. Maybe you've had a week like me where your mind has been 100 miles an hour and your emotions are just trying to figure some things out. And yet we need to realize in everything that we're going through and everything that we're facing, may nothing pull us back from telling the good news. May nothing depress us. May nothing make us feel so belittled that we can't function to where we can't tell somebody about Jesus with our lives. So what I want to do is the guys are going to pull the lights down. We're going to put some music on, and I just want us to pray. If you feel led and you want to pray for someone next to you, you certainly can. If you want prayed for, come up and just sit in this front row. In leadership, we will come pray for you. But we just want to pray. Be selfish. Pray for yourselves in the area that God has put you in. Just say, God, open my eyes up. Who is it you've called me to talk to? What is it you've called me to do? Let's just take a moment now and do what Philip did. He put himself in the position to hear from the Holy Spirit. And after he did that, that's when he acted. So we're just going to do that now. Like I said, if you want to pray sitting right there, you can walk around. If you want prayed for, either sit right here, just come in front of me. We'll pray for you. If you feel the need that, man, someone's on my heart and you want to pray for them, do that. But let's just take a time to really allow this series and this, what we've been pushing for months now, to sink in. Let's put ourselves before God, open our minds up to hear, and let's walk in obedience. Father God, right now as I look out, I see so many things going on. I pray for those students that are within here. They're starting, most likely this week, they're starting school. Holy Spirit, remind them of who they are in you. They don't walk in their weak, but they walk in their empowered. And it's not a power to defeat people. It's a power to defeat Satan and sin. So I pray for our high schoolers. I pray for those in college, dear God, that are walking into a place that can sometimes be so full of the world that we feel so outnumbered. But may they go in there seeing people, loving them, building relationships with them, enjoying life with them, experiencing, allowing them to experience the truth that they understand. May the power of Jesus Christ, may the power of the Holy Spirit be in our schools. May it start, dear God, this week as they walk in. Thank you, Father, for that. I pray for those who are just maybe struggling, maybe not, but just trying to take in what we've been talking about. I pray, dear God, that you will be over intimidation, that you will remind us what we already know, but we still feel that you are God, you are powerful, but we still feel at times that we aren't. So right now, Holy Spirit, empower us. May we be like Philip instead of walking up to the carriage, he ran. May we listen and hear your voice. May we be submissive. May we take the very thing that you speak into us. And for those that say, I'm just struggling to hear, God, speak louder then. Help us comprehend what it is you want us to do. May we see with bigger eyes the people that you have set in front of us, the ministry opportunities, all knowing that it isn't about us like we learned last week. Who's going to benefit from this message? May our heart break for those who need you. And then just like Philip did, may we just hang out, sit down, and share the good news of Jesus, the life-saving news. The news that's full of grace, the news that's full of forgiveness, the news that can take someone who's lived a life of sin and help them feel renewed, allow them to see that they are purified, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the act on that cross, that we have the ability to feel whole and use our lives to benefit others, to bless others, that we as people are chosen by you. We are loved by you. We have a purpose. May people die to that defeated feeling of living under the thumb of Satan and realize that through the power of God, we are new. We are transformed. We are made whole. That's the good news that we can share. So in each of our ways, Lord God, we're all different. We have different ways of thinking, learning, teaching, speaking, acting. You know us well. Direct us in the way that you would have us to go. To take that light of this truth to this world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the chance that you're giving us. Thank you for the ability that we can be ministers of the faith. We can be your disciples. And even as we look in this Word of God and we see some great, great people, those great people had to get over fear and intimidation and betrayal, but they did. So walk with us as we do. We just want to share your good news. This mission is possible. And there will be many success stories when we walk in your word. We pray all this in your name. And everyone says, Amen.